Well, we want to look at a prayer in the Bible again today and see what it teaches us. Turn to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. The last couple of times we had Abraham's prayer, and now we have Abraham's servant's prayer. And this is just a wonderful prayer, a wonderful chapter here, chapter 24, where Abraham is now about 140 years old. And he is going to instruct his oldest servant. It's not named. Interesting, the servant is named. We know earlier it was Eliezer that he mentioned to the Lord that I don't have a son, and the only one to inherit all of my things is Eliezer. So I imagine it's Eliezer, but it doesn't actually name him. But he tells his oldest servant, and it says, who ruled over all that he had, and he made this covenant with him, and he said, swear that you'll go to my country and take a wife for my son Isaac. And he is very insistent that it not be a Canaanite woman, number one, and number two, that Isaac doesn't leave the country. And it almost seems like Abraham knows that the promise of God is kind of in the balance here to speak, because Abraham is to go into the land and inherit the land. And now if Abraham is dying and his son leaves the land, what's going to happen to that promise kind of a commitment? And just look here for a minute. Again, we see Abraham standing on the promises of God here, as we saw in the prayers before. And we'll see again in today in Eliezer's prayer, standing on the promises of God. But look what Abraham says in verse 6. Beware that you do not take my son back there. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, this is beautiful, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying. So he's standing now in the promises of God here of speaking and swearing. Genesis chapter 24, verse 6. And then verse 7, the Lord of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. And now listen to this. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. So Abraham is going to send his son, Eliezer, to get a bride for his son, and being 140 years old, I guess that's probably okay because it's a long trip from Israel back to Mesopotamia. But with the confidence that Abraham has in sending his servant, that God will send his angel before you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. If you're going to instruct somebody to do something really, really important, wouldn't it be good to be able to have the faith to say, and God will send his angel before you? And you could probably say that with a lot of confidence if this assignment is in the will of God. Of course, if the assignment is not in the will of God, then you're in trouble, aren't you? Because what he says, this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we have asked. And in verse 8, if the woman is not willing to follow you, you will release from this oath, only do not take my son back there. Just a beautiful thing here. In this time, we see parents choosing the mate for their children. And we'll see here in this prayer that what is going to be looked for is a hard-working, humble, courteous woman. Not a woman with a pretty face, although she will have a pretty face. God gives that. But, you know, how do we pick mates today? We call it dating, right? First of all, we pick them at the most foolish time of our life, at our younger years, when we don't have any experience and we don't know what we want or what we're doing. It's like Samson telling his parents, I want that Philistine down there. She's the one I want. Well, you know, there was nothing but trouble from that kind of a decision. But we see a good decision here, and it's a godly decision. And so Eliezer leaves with 10 of the camels and with the men to tend the camels. And he goes to the well. That's a good place to go. He didn't go to the park. He didn't go to the party house. He didn't go to the bars of the city. I guess there were bars in, I don't know. But he went to the well. And that's a good place to go. Go to where the living water is, isn't it? Verse 12, Eliezer says, and here's a prayer, O Yahweh Elohim, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camel to drink, let her be the one. You have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So here's his prayer, and you know, it kind of... It touches in on the edge, really, of, Lord, here's my plan, bless it, a little bit. But if you look at this a little deeper, you'll see he's really not setting the criterion for the Lord, and this is the way, Lord, you've got to work. But he's already saying, you know, my master told me that you would send an angel before me. I just want to make sure I'm doing my master's will, and I've got it right here. So, Lord, I'll make it real clear to me if this happens that I know it's of you. And I'm praying that you will make it clear. Let it happen, it says. Let it be. He's not saying, Lord, this is the way I want you to do it. He says, let it be. So he's praying that this unfold in the way that he can understand it, that he's know that he's doing his master's will. And so he's praying for, we see here, his success. Yes, he wants to fulfill his obligation, but he's also praying what? Show kindness to my master Abraham. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful in our prayers, to really get beyond our own selfish self and really be praying for God's will, because that's the purpose of prayer anyway, isn't it? To have our will aligned with God's will. So, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And so he says, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will give your camel to drink also. Now, this is no small task. There's 10 camels here. Each of them would drink between 20 and 50 gallons of water. So when you start thinking of that, that's 200 to 500 gallons of water. And you got to go down to the well to bring this up. It's not just turn on the faucet and fill the tank. This is a lot of work. This would take quite a while to draw 200 to 500 gallons of water, or however much it was. And what a criterion for a bride. Can you see in this day and age, well, I'm going to go pick out the hardest working woman I can find, you know, who can draw 200 to 500 gallons of water? A little bit different, isn't it? When my honey was starting to draw, she was drawing. So, he says... Now, verse 15, look at the answer to this prayer. How long did it take this answer to come about? Before he had finished speaking. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Before he had finished speaking, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. So everything is absolutely right in accordance. Now, of course, at this moment, Eliezer doesn't know who this woman is because she hasn't identified herself. The writer is identifying it for us. And Nahor is Abraham's brother. And we see that since Abraham was so old before he had Isaac, we kind of skip a generation here because we have Bethuel would be Isaac's cousin, kind of the same. But now this is Isaac's cousin daughter. So that extra generation got in there, it seems like, because Abraham was so old before he had Isaac. So that's the fulfills the requirement to take a wife from my country aspect, as we will find out. And the woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. She said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, I imagine she had it on her head or on her shoulder, and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw for your camels also until they finish drinking. Mm. I'd say, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one right there. And she quickly emptied her pitcher in the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent. so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it's good to wait on the Lord, isn't it? Here he's remaining silent, and he's pondering, is this really happening? And it was. So when the camels had finished drinking, now he gives her the jewelry. Golden nose ring, ring, half a shekel, 2 bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold. And now he finds out who she is. Whose daughter are you? And is there room in your house for us to lodge? She says, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom he bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have enough straw and feed enough to room. Now listen to this. When your prayers get answered, what do? You say, thank you, Lord, and go off and do something else. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Eliezer bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Ave Elohim, the Lord God of my master Abraham, for who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. And now he gets personal. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So that's really the prayer and the beautiful answer. Now we go on down just to one couple more comments to show the faithfulness of the servant here. Look at verse 33. They invited him in, food set before him, but look at what he says. I will not eat until I have told about my errand. So he's putting again, doing his master's will before his own fleshly desires. And you can imagine he's probably really hungry at this point, having traveled all this time on a camel from Israel all the way to Mesopotamia. And so he, all the way through here, then he confirms the story, and we get on down to verse 52 again, when they bring Rebekah in, take her and go, let her be your master's son's wife. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words in verse 52 again, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So we see this is such a godly thing. One writer I was reading about in this commentary on this chapter made the statement I think is probably right. Marriages made with the fear of God in mind are likely to be happy marriages. And I think that's true. I don't think it necessarily is a guarantee. I mean, that just because two people fear the Lord. But if you're entering into such an important decision as this, if the fear of God is not there, you're really at a disadvantage. Really at a disadvantage, aren't you? So we see again the shortness of the prayer. We see the recognition and the worship that follows it. We see that with prayer preceding the prayer, so to speak, in terms of Abraham here telling him, the Lord swore, and I'm standing really on the promises of God, and God will send an angel to see that this be done. And if perchance God does not answer that prayer, then you're released from your obligation. So we see the faithfulness of Eliezer, and we see God answering that prayer even before he finished speaking. So may we be confident in our prayers, and may we stand on the promises of God, and may we be really fearful before the Lord all the way through each and every task, particularly the big ones like this. This is a big task for the chief servant of the house there to go pick a son, a bride for his master's son. And on all things we need God's help, but it seems like particularly in the big ones, don't we? Father, we just thank you for this prayer and the beauty of your word that shows us so clearly the way you work and the way we need to be praying and living our lives in accordance with your will. And so, Lord, here we are this morning. We don't have much to offer, if anything, but we do want to pray, and we're here to pray, and brothers and sisters have come to pray. And so because of that, I know this hour, we know this hour will be blessed. We know this hour will be fruitful. We know that strongholds will be impacted by the prayers right here in this little circle this morning because of your faithfulness. And so we bow down in that, and we trust you, and we stand on the promises. We stand on the promises that the confidence we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So lead us now in this time of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.